Let's get into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's open up our Bibles to the book of John. And we're going to read from John chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 2 in a moment. Have we welcomed Karen and Jared yet? No? This is Karen and Jared Batson. Why don't you guys stand up so everyone can see who you are? Karen was the worship pastor at the church that Alison and I were lead pastors of in Adelaide for many, many years. Her and Jay Holly, they were a combination punch, and they're just visiting us for the weekend. Later on, Karen's going to be singing a worship item, which is going to be amazing. And Jared, her husband, is the lead drummer at Influences Church here, phenomenal drummer. And him and Pete Wright have become best of friends, I've been told. So great to have you guys here. Let's give them another hand. Welcome to Shy Life. John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity. Now I want you to notice how long this was for, church. This man had this condition for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Well, of course he does. Verse 7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Verse 8, Jesus said to him, "How good is this? Rise, take up your bed and walk." Verse 9, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Father, we just thank you for this Building the Generation season. Thank you, Father, that you have blessed Shy Live. You've called Shy Live to great things. And Father, we just pray that your hand would be upon this season. We give it over to you for your plans, your purposes, your glory. We pray all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Every day, our lives are filled with transactions. We transact at work. Your boss asks you to do something. You, of course, respond. And over a period of weeks, there is an exchange process that takes place. You pay a service to jump on the train. There's a transaction that happens. You pay the service, the train hopefully gets you there on time. You transact at the ATM. You transact with baristas, some on a daily basis. You transact maybe at the shop at Miranda. You buy a piece of clothing and you send your money in one direction and the clothing comes in your direction. Somebody say, there you go. We transact with our friends, text messaging, social media, coffee catch-ups. So our lives are filled on a daily basis with transaction. One of the things that happens to us in our relationship with God is because our lives are filled on a daily basis with transaction, we have to be careful that we don't treat our God as a God of transaction. God is not a God of transaction. Now, when I read this story, I was startled to find something. Absolutely amazed. Something from God's word leapt out at me, and we see the heart of God. I notice that the healing that this man received was not a response to a request. He did not come to Jesus and say to Jesus, "Jesus, I've been in this condition for 38 long years. I've heard that you heal people. Can you please heal me?" I also notice that the healing did not presuppose an expression of faith on the part of the man. This was a healing that was acted out because of the very goodness of God. The Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." What am I talking about this morning, church, at the start of building the generations? I'm talking about the sovereign grace of God, where power meets powerlessness, where omnipotence meets impotence, where hope meets the hopeless, where strength comes and meets weakness. The world says, and I've heard people quote this verse, "God helps those who helps themselves." But it's not, in fact, in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that the Lord is closer to those with a broken heart and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We cannot start this building the generation season without boasting about the grace of our amazing God. Undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor of God, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen. This man did not even know that it was Jesus who healed him. John chapter 5 verse 13 says, "But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place." The man knew nothing about Jesus, but Jesus knew everything about the man. We see Jesus in this story, now watch the play on words, as the uninvited guest. He's the uninvited guest. The grace of God reaching out to broken and lost and hopeless humanity. And God in his grace coming and saying, "I'm going to save you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to bless you." We're here today in Shire Live simply because of the grace of our God. Unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor of God. I love this one commentator that I follow, and he says, "Before I was converted, I hated God's sovereignty. When I saw my helpless condition, I fell in love with his sovereignty because it became my home." Who knows that to be true? Come on, let me say that again. "Before I was converted, I hated God's sovereignty. When I saw my helpless condition, I fell in love with his sovereignty because it became my home." Why do we participate in building the generations? Why do we rise up in faith and we give? Because building the generations is a recognition of the grace that you and I have received through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or let me put it this way. We are recognizing divine determination. He came. He found me. He rescued me. He set me free. Even when I didn't have the faith for it, he reached out to me and showed me his love. We give and we participate because every single one of us in this room has experienced the sovereign grace of God. And there are others that are in the Shire. There are others overseas beyond who need to experience the grace and the love that you and I have experienced. There is none righteous, no, not one. But yet he still chose to love you and me. We give because of the sovereign grace. Because every single one of us in this room has experienced the sovereign grace of God. And there are others that are in the Shire. There are others overseas beyond who need to experience the grace and the love that you and I have experienced. There is none righteous, no, not one. But yet he still chose to love you and me. We give because of the sovereign grace of our God. Because every single one of us in this room has experienced the sovereign grace of God. And there are others that are in the Shire. There are others overseas beyond who need to experience the grace and the love that you and I have experienced. There is none righteous, no, not one. But yet he still chose to love you and me. We give because of the sovereign grace of our God. Because every single one of us in this room has experienced the sovereign grace of God. And there are others that are in the Shire. There are others overseas beyond who need to experience the grace and the love that you and I have experienced. There is none righteous, no, not one. But yet he still chose to love you and me. We give because of the sovereign grace of our God. Because every single one of us in this room has experienced the sovereign grace of God. And there are others that are in the Shire. There are others overseas beyond who need to experience the grace and the love that you and I have experienced. There is none righteous, no, not one. But yet he still chose to love you and me. We give because of the sovereign grace of our God. Amen. I also notice that John makes it very clear that the man had been in this condition for how long? For 38 years. 30. We give because of the sovereign grace of our God. Amen. I also notice that John makes it very clear that the man had been in this condition for how long? For 38 years. 38 years the man had been in this condition. Why would the Bible want us to know that the man had been in the condition for 38 years? Because I wonder if John thought of another group of people who had also been in the wilderness for 38 years. You might be thinking, no, the Bible actually says 40. Well, yes, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. 2 years they were there on purpose. 38 years they wandered aimlessly. I wonder if he thought, I need to put... God appointed a man by the name of Joshua. Jericho was conquered. Cities were shaken. Towns were conquered as they moved forward in the purposes of God. When we recognize his grace and the goodness of our God, we can expect a radical shift to take place in our church. And you and I are instantaneously transported into a kairos moment in the purposes of God and in the chronos for 38 years of wandering about. God appointed a man by the name of Joshua. Jericho was conquered. Cities were shaken. Towns were conquered as they moved forward in the purposes of God. When we recognize his grace and the goodness of our God, we can expect a radical shift to take place in our church. And you and I are instantaneously transported into a kairos moment in the purposes of God and in the chronos for 30. God appointed a man by the name of Joshua. Jericho was conquered. Cities were shaken. Towns were conquered as they moved forward in the purposes of God. When we recognize his grace and the goodness of our God, we can expect a radical shift to take place in our church. And you and I are instantaneously transported into a kairos moment in the purposes of God and in the chronos for 38 years of wandering about destiny, wandering about our future, the Kairos of God comes and shifts us forward into dynamic purpose as we conquer territories, nations, towns with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this. For 38 years, the man had been in this condition. 38. A Kairos moment in the purposes of God and in the Kronos for 38 years of wondering, wondering about destiny, wondering about our future. The Kairos of God comes and shifts us forward into dynamic purpose as we conquer territories, nations, towns with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this. For 38 years, the man had been in this condition. 38 long years. And then one day, he meets Jesus. His life was never the same. The way he interacted with people was never the same. His emotional well-being was never the same. Come on, am I talking to anybody today? His thought life was never the same because he met Jesus. A finance committee in our church advised me during the course of this week, when you look at the graphs, those of you who love graphs, they said to me this week, Pastor Brad, given where we were at in October, Alison and I will be at the helm of our church for 4 years. They said to me, we should not be where we are now financially. But why? Why are we moving forward? Why are we going forward with purpose and with destiny? Because we've invited the grace of God. And we said, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Soon as we start to claim it, guess what happens? Oh, praise me, I'm so good. Oh, I'm so wonderful. Somebody say, there you go. We recognize the goodness of our God. And as we recognize the goodness of our God, our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is my shepherd. That is, he is actively and presently involved in my life today. Not was my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's speaking. He's guiding. He's directing. He's shaping. He's the one who's leading us forward with purpose as a church. And we can expect Kairos moments. Building the generations is not just about a give. Building the generations is about a Kairos moment in God, where everything changes and everything moves forward and nothing is the same because of the goodness of our God. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I also notice something in this passage. Are you blessed today? John chapter 5 verse 8, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Who loves their bed? Oh, there's a few of you around this morning. Who needs to upgrade their mattress? Gotta love your bed. Who changes their pillow every 3 months? Anyone? Who should be changing their pillow? Maybe that's the question I should ask. Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, this is bizarre. I'll tell you why it's bizarre. Because Jesus could have easily said to him, rise up and walk. Amen? Come on, amen. Come on, you got to lean in. He could have said, rise up, walk. Dishes are done. Man's walking. Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed. Now, either it was a very special bed, and Jesus knew, you need that bed, because someone's going to steal that thing. Right? Amen. Now, the truth is, it was actually a mat, but maybe it was a very classy mat. Maybe it was one of those mats, you know, where people do all those stretches on and all that. And Jesus is like, that's too expensive. You can't leave that behind. Nothing goes to waste in the kingdom of God. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. Tonight I'm speaking on the suddenlies of God from this passage. Some of you need a suddenly, a kairos moment. Now, here we go. Bible again says he took up his, amen, his bed and walked. Now, here we go. And that day was the Sabbath. Stay with me. Bed, Sabbath. Well, these people are so crazy. The man had been healed supernaturally. 38 years he'd been in the wilderness, and he experiences divine determination. The power of God sets him free. And look at what happens. The Jews therefore said to him, verse 10, to the man who was cured, it is the Sabbath. You've been healed. How amazing. Is that what they said? They say, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. I mean, come on. Talking about missing it, missing the mark. Someone obviously loved his bed and they wanted it. That's the only thing I can think of, right? They say, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your, notice the emphasis again, bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed the whole time? Why? Why would Jesus tell him, take up your bed and walk? He could have said, rise, walk, heal. You're set free. Either this guy had the best bed ever, or God was wanting to show us something. I think the latter. We see Jesus as the agitator. Who knows an agitating person? Come on. There was this guy in Adelaide. I call him the close talker. You know one of those people when they come and talk to you? It's like, okay, you're breathing on my nostrils right now. Right? Who knows someone who's a close talker? And then when I'd step back, he'd be like, I know you do a good job with your teeth, but maybe not today. We see Jesus as the agitator. The Bible says that day was the Sabbath. Jesus knew, if I tell this man, take up your bed, some people are going to get upset. Jesus is like, how awesome. Let's make him upset. In Australian colloquialism, we'd call it, he's a stirrer. Jesus, the stirrer. He's stirring something. He's stirring religion. He's trying to show them, can't you see the condition of your heart? The man's been healed 38 years. And the only thing you can focus on is the bed. Building the generations allows us to agitate with boldness things that need to be moved, shifted, things that aren't right. 13 reasons why needs to be agitated. If you don't know what it is, it's a thing about youth suicide that's available for teenagers to watch. Crazy. We want to agitate that thing and say, it's not right. Building the generations allows us to agitate hopelessness in our society. It allows us to agitate unbelief. It allows us to agitate sickness, brokenness. It allows us to stir and to agitate the powers of darkness and to say that to the devil, you have no right, you have no place, you have no authority. You have been defeated in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's inside of me than he that's in the world. We can't agitate, church, unless we give in building the generations. I want to agitate discouragement. People are discouraged in our generation. People are depressed. People are losing hope. And they need to come into an environment where they're told they're champions, they're amazing. most importantly, meet our Lord Jesus Christ so He can tell them who they are and what they're called to do and what they are meant to be. We got to give for this to happen so we can agitate the devil. If you're an agitator, this sermon is for you. Agitating the enemy. I want to agitate disease. The Bible says, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, it becomes useless. We need to agitate. And one of the ways we can do that is through our give in building the generations, leading us to a bold action. Amen. I want to agitate. It cannot be done. Come on. Anyone with faith in the house this morning? I want to agitate small-mindedness. The Bible says, of His kingdom there shall be no end. I want to agitate a lack of faith. Who wants to agitate? I was preaching at David Storey's church last weekend. Oh, I'd forgotten about this story. I was a wild child when I was a youth pastor. Pastor David Storey had to remind me of that in a nice way. Good things, that is. We were driving in the car. He said to me, he says, Brad, do you remember that time we were at that state conference? And the guest speaker, his name was Wally Odom. I remember Wally Odom. That was David Storey's first WA conference. He'd come out of Victoria, took on the church here in Perth. I was a youth pastor. And he said, do you remember that time when we were at the state conference and the meeting was okay, but we kind of wanted more anointing? And he said, and you leaned over to me in the worship and you said, Brad, the power of God's here tonight, Pastor David. I said, I remember that. And we started laughing our heads off because I didn't know this part of the story. All I saw was Pastor David Storey jump out of his seat, go to the guest speaker who was on the front row and knocked him out under the power and just kept praying. And everyone's like, who is this guy? It's his first state conference. And the guest speaker's out under the power of God in worship. Agitating mediocrity. Agitating. That day was the Sabbath. Jesus knew that things would be stirred up in the atmosphere so that in that atmosphere we can see, is it about Jesus and the good things that He has done, or are we going to get caught up in a religious atmosphere and that was day was the Sabbath and this and that, yet the man's life had been changed for eternity. Amen. It's about the sovereign grace of God, church. It's about these radical shifts, 38 years, bam, shift from the wilderness into the promised land. And we see Jesus as the incredible stirrer, shifting and moving things so that His name can be glorified. Amen. I'm asking you, church, in this season, if our worship team could come, that'd be great. Karen. To grab a hold of your bold brochure. And I'm asking us to be bold. I'm asking us to be bold in faith. I'm asking us to be bold as we grab a hold of what God is leading us into and towards. And just like Jesus in this story, we want to see lives changed. We want to see hearts touched. We want to see people set free by the power of God. Over the course of these next few weeks, I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to ask the Lord what He would have you to do. And as we rise up together in faith, together with one voice, one heart, one vision, one mind, one purpose, we can see lives changed for the glory of God. Karen's going to lead us in some worship. Inspired a church that can expect a shift that moves us forward into our promised land. finance committee in our church advised me during the course of this week, when you look at the graphs, those of you who love graphs, they said to me this week, Pastor Brad, given where we were at in October, Alison and I will be at the helm of our church for 4 years. They said to me,